Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar, your moderator for Faith-Based Purpose, and our host today is Evangelist Williams. I am your moderator, Ms. Sugar, and Evangelist Williams, how are you this evening?
God bless you. I'm blessed of the Lord, I am.
Yes, ma'am. Before we get started, we're going to do what we do. We're going to ask you to give us a prayer.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come this evening on the show just to thank you for being a good God. Thank you for how you've blessed us throughout this day. We thank you for the word and the inspiration that you're going to share with us tonight that we might be enlightened. And we just thank you for the show and all of our listeners. We ask and we pray your blessings over their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Evangelist Williams, could you kind of give us a briefing on what you have going on for the week while I get the guest on the line?
Yes, I will. Well, we just entered into a very exciting 2013 conference for the Lighthouse Ministries in Dallas, Texas. And we are going to conclude it on this coming Saturday the 13th. And it's held at the college. Let me get my addresses and stuff here together. The North Texas College in Dallas, and I'm going to give you an address. University of North Texas at Dallas, that's 7400 University Hills Boulevard. And this is our Lighthouse Conference 2013. We will conclude it on the 13th, beginning at 8:45 until about 3:45. We are going to have classes that offer certifications and in different areas, faith-based management and lay counseling. So we would like for everybody to come out. The fee is $15 per person because it's just the second half. And we serve lunch, and we are having a wonderful time. We have vendors there that are selling different items. And we had an awesome time this past Saturday, and we're looking forward to having an even greater time this coming Saturday. So you're invited to do that, to come out and be with us. And also on the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th at 7:30, we will be at 3930 Sonora Street in Dallas, Texas. And we're having another revival, but we'll have women ministers this time. And we're starting at 7:30 each night. And our theme for that is coming from Jeremiah 8:22. Is there no balm in Gilead? And on the 20th of this month of July, we will be having a barbecue plate lunch sale at the Savings Place, 1618 Exeter in Dallas, Texas. That's at our church, and our plate lunches are $8 each. That includes your drink, and we're looking to have a real good time. We will be witnessing on that day to different ones, and we're inviting y'all to come out and be with us.
All right, well, thank God for Evangelist Williams. I'm waiting for our guest to call in. And in the meantime, we have Minister Melvin from Tampa, Florida, on the line as well. And how are you this evening? Minister Melvin, are you there? I think he has us on mute, but he'll come on here shortly, I guess. Okay, in the meantime, our guest is going to be Pastor Leandria Johnson. Now, some of you may remember her from Sunday's Best. She won Best Female Gospel Artist of 2011 for the first annual Digital Gospel Music Award. Her debut CD, The Awakening of Leandria Johnson, entered at number one on multiple music charts, including both of the Billboard Top Gospel Albums and the Top Christian Album Gospel Charts as well. So she's also, by the way, received her first Grammy nomination for Best Gospel Contemporary Christian Music Performance for her debut single, Jesus. And again, as I said, we're waiting for her to give us a call so that we can learn a little bit more about her career. And at the same time, she's going to be a part of this gigantic gospel concert that we've been promoting here on Faith Based Purpose, the J. Spivey production. And for those who are just joining us, may not have heard us before, at this time I'm going to play one of the commercials. and give her a little bit more time to call in.
Okay.
It's the Gigantic Gospel Concert 2013, featuring four of the biggest female gospel artists in the industry, like Pastor Shirley Caesar, Tamala Mann, Sunday's Best Leandra Johnson, Kathy Taylor and Favor, and hosted by Pastor Kim Burrell, Saturday, September 14th at Friendship West Baptist Church, 2020 West Wheatland Road in Dallas. Get your tickets now at Friendship West Baptist Church. Call them at 972-228-5200 and Jace Spivey Productions.
All right, that's what we have going on now. That one is, we have one in Huntsville, Texas, and we have one in Dallas, Texas. So you're in somewhere in that area. There is no reason for you to miss this, none at all. And I know, Evangelist William, you said that you have made a few of the Jay Spivey productions.
Yeah.
And tell us what you found them to be like.
Well, I went to the one last year in April at Friendship West, and it was awesome. Of course, my two godsons were the mistress of ceremonies.
Okay.
And I was just delighted to see them and be there with them. They're both, one is a bishop and the other one is a minister of music. So we just had an awesome time.
Okay, and I know that this one is going to be a huge, huge success because, you know, even with all of the gospel music, you're going to have some entertainment there because everybody loves Mr. Brown. And Mr. Brown is going to be at the one in Huntsville, Texas. Now, he's not going to make, he's not going to be the moderator for the one in Dallas. But he is going to be there in Huntsville, so that's the one I want to be there for. And, of course, Tamala Mann is going to be there. Now, I'm just wondering if Mr. Brown is going to come out in his colorful clothes. What do you think?
I think he will because that's just Mr. Brown.
That's just Mr. Brown. But I've heard so much talk about this event that anybody that miss it, you're going to be missing something. I tell you, you're going to miss something. And you can't take it back once you miss it. You know, you can't do it. So you want to make sure you get out there and see this. Now, what I do have, I still haven't gotten a call from her as of yet, and her time zone is different from ours. So while we're waiting, I will play a song of hers. And we're going to give her a little bit more time because, you know, sometimes you get caught up doing other things and being in the industry, your time is now not always your time. So we're going to give her a little bit more time to call in.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, that was Let It Go.
All right,
Evangelist Williams, why don't we talk about some of the things that we generally talk about until we get a call in?
Okay, well, would you like for me, my lesson is very short, would you like for me to go on and start on it, or just kind of give some overviews on things that we have talked about, or before?
Well, let's do overviews of some of the topics that we've covered.
All right, let me see if I can find that. Okay. Yeah.
I have Minister Melvin on the line. I don't know if he can hear us or not. Are you there?
I am here.
Oh, okay. We tried to get you on a little bit earlier, but we weren't able to get you on, but you're here now. That's what matters.
Okay.
I am here.
Okay. So we're waiting on a call from Pastor Leandria Johnson, and you know about the industry, so sometimes you get caught off doing other things and you don't get to make that call at a specific time. So we're going to give her some time to call in. And in the meantime, what we want to do is just, for the new listeners, we'll cover some of the topics or just some of the briefings of other things that we have covered.
Okay. Well, how to recognize God's purpose for your life was one of my favorites, and I think we had a real enjoyable time with that one. So you want to talk a little bit about that one?
That will be fine.
Okay.
That will be fine. Now, that was one of my favorites is Satan the guidance to divine worship. That was one of my favorites.
I like that one too. That was really a good discussion. Yeah.
Okay. Minister Melvin.
Yes, ma'am.
Which topic did you find interesting?
We've had so many discussions on this show to where I can't really pinpoint one, because they're all very informative and they're all scripturally based. So I don't want to be biased and just pick one. I want to say
okay.
them all.
All right. Okay. So what did you find interesting about the one that you chose, Evangelist Williams?
Well, I really liked the scriptures. I have two here that's right in front of me, Ecclesiastes 3:1, where it was talking about to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under the heavens, fulfilling our purpose. I think that, when we understand God's will for our life, we can really recognize his purpose for our life. And we know that, of course, it's to live according to his word and to fulfill the things that he's left for us to fulfill. But in Psalms 20:4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. It was just so exciting to me to know that God's will can actually be wrought in our life if we allow it to, if we yield to the teachings and the word of God and walk in obedience. We won't be left out of the glorious kingdom that he's preparing for his people.
Amen.
And of course, we share scriptures from Ecclesiastes 3:1 and John 12:27, Romans 8:28. 1 John 3:8, and Revelation 17:17. So we had an awesome discussion with that. That really just stuck with me, because I want his purpose to be fulfilled in my life, and I really want to recognize the purpose that God has for my life. I want to recognize it on a daily basis. I don't want to just, on Sundays. Some of us just do differently on Sundays. He's calling us to walk in purpose every day.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Now, I know the topic that I chose confused a lot of people when I brought it up on the show. Is Satan the guidance to divine worship? And it kind of threw everybody off using the word Satan and divine or divinity in the same sentence. So the conclusion we came to was that Satan is, in a sense, the guidance to divine worship, in the sense that when you're out there and you're doing all types of worldly things and it's just not working for you, and you've tried everything that you can try, you've done everything that you could do according to your way, it's the things of Satan, the things of the world that push you to let you know that the only place you have to turn is to God. So that's what we meant when we addressed that topic, that Satan is the guidance to divine worship.
Yes. Amen. Yes. You know, when I didn't get confused, I guess because I read and study a lot, I didn't get confused. You know, we can use Satan, divine, and worship in the same sense, because sometimes we get to our lowest point. It's actually Satan that drags you all the way down to rock bottom. And according to what's working in you. Sometimes
right.
We didn't put a little pressure on some of us. We might not live as devout as we should. You see what I'm saying? So other people had different ideas about that, but I understand in the sense that sometimes we have to get a few bumps and knocks before we'll really recognize who God is and what his purpose for us is. So it's okay. It's okay, because if we don't want to hear God and don't want to, you know, do what we're supposed to do, when he allows the other bad boy to kind of nudge us a little, we'll line up. Sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah,
but I always say, Lord, if you make it plain enough for me to understand, what you say without you having to turn them loose on me.
All right. Well, you know what we're going
to
do.
When it comes to that, I need to be bumped on.
I want you to give us a little bit of briefing on what you're going to talk to us about today. What are we going to be discussing?
As I was studying and I prayed to see what I could do in just about 20 minutes, because I know that you know that I'll get carried away, and I think that kind of tickled you when you said that, because they always say that I'm like a long-winded speaker from like an hour to hour and a half. But the Lord just laid on my heart to talk about five of the requirements that God gave Moses, things he gave him to do before they entered the promised land. And so I was just going to kind of give us some briefing and go over a few scriptures on that.
Okay.
And I kind of practice for like 15, 20 minutes. I wouldn't go over.
Oh, you'll go over. But go ahead. Do what you're going to do.
We start now?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We can go on and start now. I'm not sure about the call-ins. I have contacted the proper person to have them give her a call if she's going to call, you know, so they can call in.
Okay. Well, all right. Okay. And she might have, you know, may have had to do something else or something. But anyway, the first scripture that the Lord gave me to share was Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13. And it says, "And now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thou God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Verse 13 says, "And to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." And when I read that, the word that stood out the most was, for thy good, for our good. And a lot of people don't like the Old Testament, but I look at it as being the foundation for the new. And we are today's Israel, of course. Now, the Lord wouldn't have told them to do something they couldn't do. He wouldn't have told us to do something we couldn't do. He already knows what we are able to do. Even though he was talking to Israel then, he's saying similar to the same things now to us. We must respect God. That's number one. Walk in all his ways. Serve him with our whole heart. Keep his commandments and love him. So those five things, if it took it for them to enter the promised land, it's going to take it for us. Okay? In Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, Joshua is speaking of fearing the Lord and serving him in sincerity and in truth. A lot of, and I don't like to refer church people or us church people, or, you know, but God's people, we sometimes fall short of serving him in sincerity and in truth. We need to put away everything that's idle or that's meaningless on a daily basis so that we can serve God in sincerity and in truth. And he concludes by saying, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua not only spoke for just himself, he spoke for his house or his surroundings or, you know, his associates. Now, sometimes we find it difficult to be able to speak for anybody except ourselves. But the scripture teaches us to know those that labor among us and with us. So we can actually, when our pastor speaks, he speaks as the leader or the shepherd, and he speaks for the congregation. Okay? Mm-hmm. In Genesis 17 and 1, Abram was 99 years old when the Lord appeared before him and told him who he was. He says, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. We are not perfect yet, or we might not be walking in perfection yet, but we need to start changing the way that we walk before the Lord, because some of us walk a different walk on Sundays or on church nights than we do at other times in the week. We walk differently in our church settings than we walk on our jobs or our social gatherings or at the park. But I think that if somebody see us, I don't care whether it's in the grocery store, whether we're visiting our neighbors or family, they need to know that our walk is different because we belong to the Lord. We're King's kids. And we teach also at our church that we're in a wealthy place. And we don't, you know, we don't like negative things, negative talking. Mm-hmm. We like to speak positive because we feel like that this is a part of God. You know, a lot of times people don't understand why things happen like they happen. God is trying to get us in a place that we can really walk upright for him in sincerity and in truth. Now, in Psalms 119 and 1, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way. The word undefiled means blameless.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in the law of the Lord. Now, people say all the time, oh, you can't walk blameless. What? You can't live without doing wrong. But people, if we don't start confessing with our mouth and really actually putting things into action, we'll always walk in error. We'll always walk in error. We have to line our mind, our thinking, all that stuff up according to the word of God. Well, I've got some good news for you this day. If we don't start practicing, we will never be perfect. We had one of our teachers, I don't know whether it was Mr. Bill Johnston or Mrs. Robinson or who it was. It was one of the teachers in grade school that would tell you. I don't want to say it was that math teacher, Barnhill or somebody. But anyway, they told us all the time, you've got to practice because mm-hmm. practice makes perfect. Now, I'm 58 years old and I'm still practicing because the things that was instilled in us as children, if we took heed to it, it's really good. It would work for our good today. So we teach in our church practice, choir rehearsal, that's practice. Studying and reading the Word of God, practice walking upright, practice living what the Word says. We've got to practice. Okay, and all over the Bible, God has commanded that we walk upright. So this is not something that, because it's mentioned several times in the Old Testament, it carried right on over to the New. Okay? You've got to start somewhere, and no other, no better place I know of to start than in the Word, walking according to the Word. See, this is how we're going to walk out of our flesh into the spirit realm. All right? Here we go in the New Testament. In Galatians 5 and 16, this is Paul, and he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, people think of, when you mention lust, they think of, oh, having sex, or, oh, getting your groove on. You can lust after anything. You know, mm-hmm. And if lust is set up in our heart, we cannot please God with a lustful heart. Okay? There it is again. If you mm-hmm. practice, you'll become perfect. We have to mm-hmm. practice walking in the Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lust of our flesh and always let our flesh have our way. Miss Sugar, we were talking not long ago about the pie, you know, and you come to the conclusion that if you'll eat a whole pie, nobody need to give you a pie for a gift. You're not disciplined enough yet to have a whole pie. So if I'm going to give you some pie, I'm going to give you one slice. That's the same way it is with anything else. We can overdo anything, so we need to practice. Okay?
That's
right. If no sin is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you know, we've got to change our way of walking, our way of thinking, our way of talking, and certainly our way of living. In
okay.
Ephesians 2 and 10, again, Paul is saying, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." See, a lot of the things of our flesh, we know it's not good works. Our good and perfect gifts come from God. Our good and perfect things come from God. So we need to practice, you know, doing good things, having good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. There you go again, practice. You know, when you use the word walk, you don't think of somebody standing still. You think of them moving.
That's
because if
right.
you're going to walk, you're not sitting down or standing still. The word walk means you're moving. And usually we don't walk backwards. We walk mm-hmm. forward. Okay? In Ephesians 4 and 1, Paul entreats us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Now, we have some very, very high titles. And we know the high calling question. We have some titles that people will look up to. You know, they think of a bishop or a pastor or, you know, they think of those being high titles. Then it grieves us to hear, even on the radio or airways or the newspapers. Because, you know, some of our pastors are making the news, and it's not good. Some of them mm-hmm. are making the television medias, and it's not good. They're mm-hmm. not walking in the vocation that the Lord has called them to. They're not walking upright. Because if they were, good things would follow their walk. You know, we don't, as an evangelist, I'm very careful, very careful. Now, you know, the people that I've known for years, like you, Miss Sugar, you and I can laugh and talk an hour, and we won't see any of our talking. We just be laughing about things we did in school and, you know, unless we say somebody we didn't really like because they gave us a spanking or whatever. But, you know, we don't put a lot of flesh and junk in our everyday
yeah.
conversation. We have to practice. We have to practice. Because if we would stay on the phone an hour every day and just allow our flesh to talk about in and everything, our walk could be contaminated. And people, if you get off the phone with me or I get off the phone with you and we've, you know, talked any kind of way with each other, somebody could call us for prayer. How powerful and how effective could we be to them? How quickly could we get a prayer through if we've entertained each other and talked garbage and stuff on the phone for an hour? We couldn't be real effective. So, therefore, it's very important how we walk. In Ephesians 5 and 8, Bible tells us that we were sometimes in darkness, but now we're in the light. So we need to walk as children of light. That means walking in the light of the Word, and the Word is God. So we need to, and you think of the word light and darkness. Now, At night, I don't like light, because when I go to sleep, I don't want to see nothing. My eyes are closed, and I want to be in the dark. Of course, I have a little night light because my 12-year-old is legally blind, and I want to have some light in my house so that if he wakes up, you know, he won't stumble and fall. But in the spirit realm, if we walk in darkness, that means we're walking in sin, and the light of Christ is not in us. But if we walk in the light as children of the light, then there shouldn't be any darkness in our walk either. So our lesson today teaches us that if we want to enter into the promised land, we must walk in the light of Christ Jesus. And he left a perfect example. He sent his son back to lay the foundation for us so that we wouldn't have to any longer dwell in darkness. So we can walk in the light. We can encourage ourselves to walk in the light of the Word of God.
Amen. 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 What do you think about that, Minister Melvin?
That was a nice word from above. I can't really add anything to that because it's still blazing with fire. But I do agree that we have to walk. You know, we have to try to perfect our walk. You know, each and every day. It's not an easy process, and you know, I understand. You know, being in the ministry myself, there are things that come my way to try to throw that walk off. But you also have to arm yourself with the armor of God and keep it moving and encourage yourself. So everything that Evangelist Williams has said, I have to concur with that.
You know, I agree with it.
You know, sometimes you can't. There is no need to add nothing else to that.
That's right.
God bless you.
I don't have anything to add to that, but I want to ask the both of you a question. I had a conversation today, and I was wondering if you two would help me with this. About faith, the conversation was about faith. I asked a question, if your lack of faith sometime causes you to go through things that you do not necessarily have to go through? And I was told the answer is no. Now I'm just going to say, I'm going to tell you how I feel about it, and then I would like both of you to tell me what, you know, you think, you know, what you know about it. I said that it does stop, you know, it does cause you to go through some things, because the way I look at it is, if I have the faith in God to know that if I'm trusting God, then that means I have faith in God. If I have faith in God, then I know that whatever I'm going through, even if, as we are told, we are sometimes tested, even if I'm being tested, and I have that faith that God will fix it or will bring me through it, I still have to have faith to come out of it. And if I don't have that faith, in my way of thinking, and this is one person's opinion, that if I don't have that faith, if I lose that faith, if I show that doubt, then that's where I fall, and that's what keeps me stuck in that spot.
Okay.
And I'm told that that's wrong. That's not the way to look at it, because it's not the faith that brings you out of the situation. So I need some help with that.
Okay. Now, the scripture we know in Hebrews, excuse me for flipping, I don't want to quote it wrong. Now, we know that everybody is given a measure of faith.
Uh-huh.
Everybody is given a measure of faith. And Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence
uh-huh.
of things not seen.
Same,
for
right.
by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through
okay.
faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made by things
okay.
which appear. Now, if we lack faith, there's another scripture that says, we can't expect too much of God if we don't have faith. We can't expect him to do too much for us. And a lot of times, when we go through things that are very hard, it might seem like that our faith is like on a low plane, or we don't have much faith. But it doesn't take much. You just need to know that you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can agree with you if you don't have any, how do we expect God to help us?
Okay.
I think that our faith moves God. The Bible says it does. Faith
okay.
moves God. It's
okay.
not what we go through or how we go through it. It's whether we have faith enough to come out of it.
Okay.
And sometimes, the Bible says faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to apply action to some of the things that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to allow some of the things to go as far as they go. We just kind of do that sometimes.
Okay.
I'm making myself a little plain.
But to me, you are. I think, that, I guess I what I'm hearing you say is that I can have faith in God, but there's sometimes something that I also need to do to activate
yeah.
that faith.
That's right. It has to be activated. Because if it didn't have to be activated or put some action to, the Bible wouldn't have said faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dead faith is no good.
Okay.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the faith that we have will move situations and shift situations in
mm-hmm.
our life, shift things that's going on.
Now, you know, I do want to hear what Minister Melvin has to say, but I find that over the past few years in my personal life, I find that to be the case, because there were times, you know, and I always, you know, talk to you about that, and I say things that I can speak on are things that I know or things that I've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been times where, you know, I'll go through things and it's like I have a tendency to panic.
Uh-huh.
When something looks like it's falling apart, you panic. And when you go into uh-huh. panic mode, at that point, to me, it's kind of like the faith went out the door.
Right.
You know, you just,
right.
you know, now I know that when things go wrong, it's going to hit you for a minute. But
yeah.
but when you get there and you stay there, because that's I did. I used to do that. I used to get there and I would stay there.
Why?
You know, I would just stay there in panic mode. Just you know, I just you know, what am I gonna do? Okay, I don't know what to do. Okay, I you know, just frantic. And it got to a point to where when things happen now, I'll go. It'll hit me. You know,
okay.
Something may happen, and I'll say, okay, you know, say an unexpected bill. I'll just use something like that, an unexpected bill. Okay, mm-hmm. okay, now what am I going to do? You know, I don't have the money. What am I going to do? And I'll think, okay, if I don't pay this, this is going to happen. And it'll hit me now for, like, brief moment. And
wow.
and I go through this, well, if I have it, I'll pay it. If I don't have it, I don't have it. So something will work out, you know, something will come through.
And you know, you've got to learn now.
And then,
I just move on.
You know, yeah.
And out the door, but it'll come back.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes a simple phone call, we learn to see, you're activating your faith in. You haven't, but when something shocks you, you just kind of forget about it right quick because you're trying to think of what to do next.
Right.
But then when the solution comes, when the spirit calms you down and the solution is like a phone call.
And that's the key thing right there, what you just said, because, I have someone that I call my daughter, and she was going through something a couple of weeks ago. And she was just all in a panic. And I know she knew how to deal with the situation. And I told her, I said, you know I've taught you enough to let you know that you cannot deal with anything in a panic because you can't think. You can't think clearly. And once you think, the knowledge is there. You know, you've obtained enough wisdom to know how to deal with the situation. And know where to get your help from. But if you just get in that situation and you stay there, and I guess that's why I asked that the person this question today about, the faith issue. And I was kind of surprised when they told me that, that's not it. Faith does not, cause that. Lack of faith does not cause you to stay in situations.
Yeah. Well, I think that lack of faith does, and situations will come in all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to know that if we have a little faith, we can keep our right mind and allow God to work it out for us.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on it without faith? You know, some ministers or some teachers might think, "Oh, faith has nothing to do with it," but yes, it does.
Well, it's funny that you said that because this was one of those that told me that today.
Yeah.
You know, that I had the conversation with today, and that's why I wanted to ask the both of you your thoughts on it. Because it was kind of shocking for a minister to tell me that lack of faith does not cause you to go through, to stay in situations. That if you have faith in God, that
if you have
can
faith, doesn't it move
come
you
through situations?
Situation?
Mm-hmm.
If we have faith, it'll move us out of situations. So
right.
Lack of faith will make you stay bound.
Okay. Well. The response that I got was that staying down. We all have to suffer. We all have to bear a cross. We all have our own crosses to bear. And I'm, I say it all the time. I'm not biblically as wise as a lot of people, but I was told that Christ dying and suffering was not so that we didn't have to. That we didn't have to go through those things. Because we do have to go through the suffering that he went through. Not so much as dying on the cross, but all of the things that he went through, the ridicule and all of that, we do have to go through it.
Right. Well, Paul said, "I die daily." But this was dying to fleshly desires and putting your own self under so that Christ can be risen in you.
Mm-hmm.
But,
okay.
If we couldn't go through what Jesus went through, we couldn't. because he was human and divine. Now, we're human now. We have a spirit working in us, and a lot of us don't even know what's working in us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't, because they'll say one thing and live another.
Right.
Because if they really knew that hell was real for real, when they read about fire and brimstone, they would do the things they do, because we don't know when we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
After death is the judgment. So, you know, that lets me know that a lot of people don't really, they'll say one thing and do another.
Okay. Yeah.
So when the Bible says, we've got to have faith. That's why he gave us all a measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
People, we, you know, it's just, I don't know. I think some of us really don't quite understand, and I don't understand everything, but some of the things that I do understand, I know that I understand them.
Okay.
I really think that we all have to just be aware that Christ did die for us, and we do have to suffer. But then he said he wouldn't put any more on us than we could bear. So,
okay.
You know?
Well, I wanted to ask, and I still want to hear Minister Melvin's thoughts on it, because I really just don't know where I would be without my faith. Because I know where I was even when I had faith and wasn't applying it. So I don't know where at this point in my life where I would be without it.
Well, let me put my spin on this. Because in Hebrews, in the same chapter, chapter 11, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We have to look over our life, even during the darkest days or when we lived in darkness. Well, let me start this over. Once we came out of darkness and we became a new creature in Christ, and, you know, as you become a new babe in Christ, you know, God manifests himself so much in the beginning, you don't know where these blessings come from. But as you take upon the role as a Christian and as you continue to grow, you know, as Paul said, we will go through some things. And like Minister Williams said, we will never, as humans, go through the things that Christ went through. But this Christian walk, we're going to be ridiculed, we're going to be scorned, we're going to be talked about in the whole nine yards. But the question we have, let me get to the point, the question we have to ask ourselves, when has God ever failed us? Now to go with what Ms. Sugar is saying, it's this. I can attest to this, there's been many days where I had to encourage myself and to kind of piggyback off after you, Evangelist Williams, I had to encourage myself and I had to pick up that faith or activate that faith and have to look back and see where God has brought me through. That's why we have to constantly stay in prayer each and every day, stay in the Word of God to keep on girding ourselves with the armor of God. So, you know, we have to steady stay in that. But there will come situations to where we may panic, but we have to think about, like I said, I have to go to it again, when has God ever failed us? A lot of us, when we go God, we want that instant microwave blessing. We want to put it on 30 seconds, and once the bell goes off, you know, it's like having a frozen burrito that you take out of the freezer. We want to stick the burrito in there for 30 seconds. You know, and hopefully it'll be hot all the way through. But we know that's not going to happen. So sometimes we have to sit back and wait on God. But God wants to see how much do we really trust in him. I'm not going to attest to this. This is my testimony. Here in the last 3-4 months, I have been on my job for the last 2 years. All of a sudden, because I don't really want to get into the basis of it, but because someone didn't agree with me and my skin color, I was discriminated against. Right in the middle, you know, of my, I praise God for, you know, my wife. I was just recently married here about 3 weeks ago. And everything was in limbo. So I kind of sat back. I kind of felt like Ms. Sugar. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I kind of panicked. But then he said, I'll tell you what, when have I ever failed you? I mean, when have I ever failed you? You know? I said, never, Lord, you never failed me. Well, what you need to do is you need to just look back over your life, and I know the things that you need, not what you want, not what you need, but make a long story short, God pulled through, but I had to seek his face and believe in him and trust that everything was going to be all right, and blessings came from left and right. But, you know, it's part of our human aspects, because if we stay within the will of God, all, you know, pretty much all the time, when situations arise, then we know that we have, you know, God has our back. You know, but like I said, the human side or the fleshly side sometimes gets in because our armor has gotten cracked, and that we haven't tightened our armor up, and it seeks in and it gives us doubt. But like I said, we just had to take an overview, you know, and see the manifest, you know, and see this. So you look at Job. We probably would never even, probably even the things that we go through is minute to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has went through, and to some of the soldiers that have been in the Bible, what they went through. Look at Job, a rich man, lost everything. And you know what the wife said? Why do you still worship, or why do you still praise God where you should be cursed to God? And what did he say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even though during our darkest hours, we have to really look for God's unchanging hand and know that he has us. I mean, even I've had so many gravest challenges, but now that I look back over the years, so it wasn't nothing but a test. But in the end, we know that we have victory. We're just passing through this land, and the things that we're going to go through, we're going to go through that. So if we continue to look at the heavenly things and know that down the line we won't go through all this, even though trouble will come our way. But the song also says that trouble don't last always either. You know, so I'm going to start because I'm about ready to preach. But, you know.
I disagree. I don't know where I would be without the faith that I have, for sure.
That was something that's And my faith is very important to me. It really is. You know, I just don't know where I would be without it, because I do come up against a lot of things in my life, over my life. Sometimes there are weeks that go by that every day of the week something will happen. And you know, you just have to know that it's going to be okay.
Amen.
You know, and there was a time where I would deal with it my way and not, you know, it would be okay, but it would only be okay for a few minutes because my way didn't work. You know, and I tell people that all the time. I say, we used to do stupid stuff. I used to do some stupid stuff. There would be times like I would have money and I might not have enough money to pay my rent. Well, I would have some money, but that self-pride, instead of going to somebody and asking somebody for help with the remainder of the rent, I would get it in my head, well, I don't have enough to pay the rent, so I'll just go take this and go party with it. How stupid is that? You know,
you
still got to come up with the money for the rent.
You got to get the whole thing.
you still got to come up with the money for the rent. You know, instead of just being still, trusting God, knowing that if you doing what you're supposed to be doing, and if you being, you know, you being careful with what he's giving you, that he's going to give you more. But no, just be foolish, sugar. Just go and, you know, do something else with that. You know,
you know what? I mean to cut you off, Miss Sugar. You know, faith is like being on a job. When you start on the field in a job, the first when you're introduced to faith is like being on a job. I mean, let me say it right. Because when you get on that job, you're learning the trade and the ins and outs of the job. But the more you stay on that job, the easier that job, you know, gets. Even if you run into a snag on that job, you know what's going to happen. You know how to fix that. So faith is kind of like a job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The longer you walk in faith, and you walk down this road, and you may run through a snag, but then you look back over the last 10 miles of when you walk through faith, okay, I got through this. Yeah, this may be seeing something. Or say, for instance, you in a factory, you on the assembly line, and you're one of the mechanics that run that. Well, every now and then something may go off. You know how to fix it. What if the power goes off? Well, you know, they give you the instruction manual. The instruction manual is the Bible. So we have to grow. I said, but it's like, faith is like being on a job. And the longer you're on that job, the easier it becomes. So each and every situation, you have to take back, even though when you get discouraged, because, hey, even a lot of us have been in the Lord, a lot of times when a test comes, it's not going to say, first thing, it's the human reaction. And everybody can't say that. They never answer like this. Now, what am I going to do? So I feel you down that, Ms. Shue, because sometimes, you know, the things that I've been through my life, I have to ask, sometimes I'd be like, well, Lord, this is like this one of your greatest challenges. But then I look back down the road and be like, well, if I don't went through all this and I'm still here, I know that he's able to pull me out of this one. So that's when you have to put that first. Keep it moving.
That's right. Well, I again, I just wanted to hear from others. Because, you know, I do hear, I talk to people, different people about different things that, I like discussing the Word of God anyway. So, you know, and then with me, the Word of God and my life, boy, they just kind of go so hand in hand with me still trying to get my life to where it's supposed to be. Because I can't say that it's all the way there, but I know that I'm on the right path. And when I'm talking to people, I don't want to be misled. And I kind of like what you said, Evangelist William, and you know me for so long. I know what I know. And I know that is. Once it's in my head, it's there. And for somebody to tell me that my faith is of no purpose, we're going to have another conversation. You know, we're going to have another conversation. We're going to have no conversation, you know, because I just don't see that. I don't get that, you know, and coming from, you know, a person that is a leader it was just kind of hard for me to understand, you know, them saying that. So that, you know, it's cleared up. It's very clear.
Okay.
Now, did anybody have anything else that they wanted to talk about? Before we, because we're not going to stay on here a long time today, I am going to play the last commercial for Jay Spivey Production. And if anybody have anything that they want to talk about, let's do that. Well, Fallbrook Church. No, you go ahead and do that because I want to get the address for Fallbrook Church here in Houston, Texas. That's what I want to do. So anybody have anything to say, you can go ahead and do that now.
Well, I just want to say that let us be mindful of Christ's last instructions, Matthew 28. I mean, my ministry is based on, like, I don't even know I'm a minister, but I'm really an evangelist. I'm Evangelist Jordan, spreading the good news of Christ. You know, people need to know about the good news. And if we keep that to ourselves, then we're not following through on what the last instruction that Christ left us. So many things that are going on in religion now, but basically we need to be focusing on of what he told us to do. You know, whether we're worrying about finances, worrying about finances in our church and our, you know, in our, even in our personal lives, we all know that, you know, in the Word it says that, you know, God shall supply all your needs in Philippians. So we need to be mindful not to hold the Word inside of us. We need to spread the gospel so that we can reach the masses of people that are striving to hear the Word of God, but to also be sure that we are a light. We are the light of the world. So when blemishes come, or as Evangelist Williams said, there, you know, people that have been in the ministry and they're fallen, we can't correct, or we cannot eradicate what they've done. But let the light shine in us so that other people can see that when the dark cloud of religion comes about, our light is brighter, that we can kind of help ease that pain and show them and not run them away from religion.
Yes, amen. Amen.
All right. Evangelist Williams, well, let me do this. Fallbrook Church in Houston, Texas, and it is located on 12512 Walters Road. That's in Houston. The number there is 281-444-2733. Every Wednesday in July, they have what is called Christmas in July. And it is a big event. They have all kind of things going on there. I think this year they're having Smokey Norville, Byron Cage, Kurt Carr and the Kurt Carr Singers, Lisa Page, some of these I know, Omar Lopez, Stacey J Productions, and a few other ones. And it is a family event. They have activities for the entire family. And they have the concert, and they have the sermons and everything. So it's a good thing to do on Wednesday nights. And that's at Fallbrook Church on 12512 Walters Road in Houston, Texas. So if anybody's looking for something to do on a Wednesday night, that's where they can be.
All right. Okay.
And now, Evangelist William, let's hear about you.
Okay. We are concluding the 2013 Lighthouse Ministries Conference, and that's going to be at the University of North Texas at Dallas. The address is 7400 University Hills Boulevard in Dallas, Texas, 75241. And the seminar is going to conclude on this coming Saturday, the 13th. We began registration at 8, and we're going to close it down at 3:30. We will have lay counseling 1 and 2, and we'll have faith-based anger management, conflict resolution, faith-based mentoring, caregiving, and we're just going to have an awesome time, and we'll be issued certificates for the attendance. And the fee for Saturday is $15, and lunch is included. Again, that's going to be at the University of North Texas at Dallas, 7400 University of Boulevard, 75241. And I am the local president of the Seven Churches that Fellowship that's sponsoring this. We would love to have you come out. We had an awesome time on this past Saturday, and we would love to have you come out and visit with us.
Okay, and I would like to say hello to Ministers Bobby and Regina, who's listening in, and Cynthia Allen of C. Allen Productions. She hung up a little bit earlier, but she was on the line also. And to the other callers that we had on the line, I want to thank everyone for calling in and listening in to the show. And I don't know if Minister Bobby wanted to have a word or not. Do you happen to know Evangelist Williams?
Oh, Is Minister Bobby still on the line?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Would you like to have a word today? Okay. Go right ahead.
God bless you. God bless you. I've really been blessed. I was blessed when Pastor called me and asked me to listen in this evening because truly I had been going through some trials myself. And I was really blessed in the requirement that God really asked of us. And in the practicing of being positive, I've been really blessed in that also. But I wanted to share with James 1 and 3, knowing this, that the trials of your faith work of patience.
Mm-hmm.
But let patience have a perfect work, that ye mm-hmm. may perfect and entiring, wanting nothing.
Okay.
And then I went over to Romans 5 and 3, and it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing mm-hmm. that tribulations work as patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So mm-hmm. when you was talking about the faith and how we go through things, Pastor Nim had to come down and pray for me. Now, I know I'm a mighty woman of God, and I know it ain't nothing God haven't done for me, and I know he loved me. But I had, you know, like when Mama Nim hit us and we said, well, I got a licking because I was told of some illnesses that were going on in my body. And
mm-hmm.
I hollered out, and I had to wait a while, and
mm-hmm.
I tried to regain my faith. But we're still talking about these tribulations. So
mm-hmm.
when Pastor Sam came and prayed with me, it rekindled me. It restored me. So
mm-hmm.
sometimes we do fall, but that's so God can bring us back up to a higher level. That's my faith. Because without tribulation, there's no hope. And without patience, there's no faith. So I just wanted to encourage you, Sister Sugar, that no matter what, we gonna holler when we get some things done to us. We in the flesh. And when the spirit come on the scene, then all that flesh got to go. And I thank God for my pastor. I love her so much. And she's been a big encouragement to me throughout all my life that I've walked with Christ. And she gave us Psalms 119 and 1. And as she was talking about practicing, and it made me think about the message I was able to teach on, what's in your mouth. Sometimes we can't praise God like we want to because of what we're going through. All but the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous will avail as much. Y'all be blessed.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay, I enjoy hearing her speak so much. Sister Regina, you know I'm not going to leave without letting you say a word.
God bless y'all. I enjoyed it. It was awesome. The word of God is so awesome, and God is awesome, because without him, we cannot do anything.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Okay, and I appreciate
it. Saturday at the conference, the word of God was so rich. I looked over there at Sister Gina. She said, I almost jumped over that table. I wanted to laugh on that. Sister Gina, be quiet on this phone, but she really act up in church.
Well, you know, Sister Regina is filled with the Holy Ghost. You know that. You know, we know that. That's not somebody that we even have to ask about. We know.
Yeah. Oh, God. But I enjoyed everything this evening.
Yes, yes. Okay. Well, I do want to thank, you know, everyone for joining in. Reverend Roosevelt wasn't able to join us today.
Okay.
He's working on a sermon that he's going to be teaching on what is a Christian. So he's working on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I told him we do understand, and you know, just whenever he, you know, feels led to come back, he's more than welcome back. And I do appreciate you, Minister Melvin, for joining, you know, for stepping in.
Amen.
Well, I do thank you for letting me come on, and it's always a privilege to discuss the Word of God amongst, you know, the workers, because we are workers. We are servants of the Lord. So, you know, we have to encourage each other as well as ourselves, and I just want to thank you for including me, because a lot of times my schedule is crazy, so I can't attend, but tonight, glad I did. I was greatly enriched from everybody.
Oh, no problem. Evangelist William, I haven't known Minister Melvin for a long time, but I feel like he's a brother. I call on him for a lot of stuff.
Good, amen.
I call on him quite often. So, I feel like I have another brother now. So,
yes, we sure do enjoy him coming and sharing with us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, well, we're gonna end the show now, and what I'm going to do is play a Tamala Mann song. She's also going to be on that show. And I just really love this song she has called Speak, Lord. And I'm going to play that. And if you all want to hold on and listen, you can. But if you have something else to do, then I understand that as well.
Amen. Well, God bless all of you.
Okay. Amen. God bless you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Made a move once before on my own. It was wrong.
I feel now.
Lord, you know how hard it was, but you picked me up and I learned be still and wait on your word. Oh yeah.
Restore me.
Get it on down.
Gigantic Gospel Concert 2013, featuring four of the biggest female gospel artists in the industry, like Pastor Shirley Caesar, Tamala Mann, Sunday's best Leandra Johnson, Kathy Taylor in favor, hosted by Kim Burrell and David Mann, a.k.a. Mr. Brown. Sunday, September 15th at the Bernard G. Johnson Coliseum on the campus of Sam Houston State University. For ticket info, call 877-291-1918. And don't miss Shirley Caesar and Tamala Mann.